Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted, not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The music tells us it's time to go fishing.
Are you ready to go?
We might not always do it right. We might never do it right, but at least you'll get to learn from our mistakes. We're going to hit the streets and go fishing.
Come on, y'all, now let's go listen. The way of the messer is for you to go fishing. Not the kind of fishing that you do in the river, because the baby uses the message to deliver.
You heard the song? We're supposed to be fishers of men. But we can't be fishers if we don't go out there and actually cast our lines. Ray, you ready to go fishing?
I've got my first line ready to speak.
All right. Now, once again, you might hear this and you might go, you know, I don't like the way that was done. Okay, that's fine. As long as you do it biblically, that's swell, because we don't claim to do this perfectly. We just hope that we all learn from our mistakes. And if you hear the good stuff, then take that too. But our single encouragement is always use the law before you give the gospel, because it helps the gospel of Jesus Christ make so much sense. And without the law, well, no worries. All's well. Don't have a concern in the world. Don't need Jesus. But when you use the mirror, the law, the Ten Commandments, then they recognize worries. I'm in trouble. I need a Savior. Correct, Ray?
Yes, that seems to be the general thought. It's like you got to convince the patient that he's got a disease before he'll take the cure. And if you don't take the time to show him his need, he's not going to take the cure. He's not going to esteem it, appreciate it, or appropriate it.
Let's check in with Alex. Hello, Alex.
Hello, Todd and Ray. I'm outside the Flinders Street Station, right opposite Federation Square. Man, I love it in here. The trams and buses. I hope you can hear Boris, who I've got to speak to you today. I hope you can hear him, okay? Sorry? Was it? Barris, it's okay, it's Barris, sorry. He's Turkish, and he's still at school. He's only 17 years old, and he's an agnostic. Doesn't think anything happens to you when you die, and he considers himself to be a good person. He's only in a shirt. Dude, are you cold?
Yeah.
He is cold. He's shivering. But he's keen to talk to you guys.
And Ray, I know exactly what you wanted to say there. I know what you wanted to say.
What?
Something about warming him up. Maybe bringing him a little bit closer to the
yes,
flames.
Yes, you know, make him shiver a little more.
Now, don't goof up his name. That's a big no-no. When you witness to somebody, make sure you get their name right, right?
You don't want to embarrass him.
Well, it's like, so listen, Roy, this is the most important thing you can hear in the whole world. And Alan, thanks for going out in this. It's like, whoa. It just kind of undermines your whole message. So listen carefully when they tell you their name, because I've done that so many times where I've called the wrong name and I just feel like a dope.
Well, thanks, Tom.
Exactly. All right. Alex, are you? I almost forgot his name. Alex.
Yeah.
Let's have a chat with Barris the agnostic.
Barris, here he is.
Good work, dude.
Hello.
Barris, thank you for coming on the program. My name's Ray. And are you from Turkey?
Yeah, I am, actually.
How long have you been in Australia?
I was born here, but then I went to Turkey for a bit, and then, yeah, came back for a bit. So I've been here for a while.
Which do you like most?
Huh?
Which culture? Which culture do you like?
Australia's boring.
Australia's boring?
Yeah.
Pretty colourful in Turkey, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's way better than here, actually.
So what are you doing roughing it in Australia if you like Turkey better?
I'm stuck here, you know. I've got to finish school.
Oh, you
and
do?
Then I'll get out.
Then you'll get out. Get some interesting food back in Turkey, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, Barris,
You're
an agnostic?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't even know what that is, really. I just don't believe in God.
Yeah, well, an atheist is someone who doesn't believe in God, but an agnostic is someone who just doesn't know if God exists or not. They haven't really thought about it much, or they haven't seen evidence of it.
I just think life is too short for God, you know. Just live life, man. No need to follow any made-up rules by any religion. Just live life.
Barris,
you live and you die.
You said life is short. How long do you think your life is going to be?
Who knows, man? I can die like tomorrow. That's why I should be enjoying myself every moment.
So what's going to happen to you when you die, do you think?
You know what I reckon, man? I reckon it's just like sleeping, but you never wake up. It's like you never know you were sleeping if you never wake up, you know?
So how do you know that?
I'm just guessing, you know? That's what I would guess, because most people just think of their own thing to make themselves happy. But, you know, everyone has their own thoughts, and I just reckon this. Because I don't really believe in you're going to burn in hell for the rest of your life for being bad, you know? If that was true, why would God create being bad in the first place, you know?
Well, that sounds like you think about it a little bit. So you do admit there's such a thing as bad?
Yeah, no, not really, man. Just, you know, there's choices in life. What makes things bad and good is religion itself, you know? Well,
okay, let's put religion aside and don't even think about God. Is murder right or wrong?
It's probably right in a way and wrong in another way.
Okay, what about rape?
Well, yeah, right. People that rape are sick in the mind, you know. They're not normal people.
So is it right or wrong? Is it right or wrong to viciously rape a woman?
It's probably wrong, but it's not the person's fault, though. So
it's not their fault if they rape someone? What about someone who sexually abuses a little child? Is that right or wrong?
No, it's actually it's wrong for us. But for them, it shouldn't be wrong because they shouldn't get in trouble for it because they don't have the choice. Do you think they want to do these sort of things? Do you think they don't want to be like everyone else?
Okay, Boris, do you think you're a good person?
The thing they asked me that, and I said yes, but I sort of, you know, it's 50-50. I've done sort of some bad things in life, I guess.
What bad things have you done?
Hurt some people, you know, things like that. I'm 17, typical guy, you know, I get into fights when I go out, parties.
Boris, have you ever told a lie?
Have I ever told a lie?
Yeah.
Yeah, every day.
So what do you call someone who tells lies?
I call them a normal person.
Yeah, but what's the right term for them? Lies. Rhymes with fire and begins with L.
No, I don't believe in lies. That's like calling everyone a liar. If everyone's a liar, everyone's normal. So I just call them normal.
Okay, have you ever stolen something?
Yeah.
So what do you call someone who steals things?
I call them someone that steals something.
Yeah, they're called a thief, aren't they?
A thief, I guess. That's the right
Boris, have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yeah, I guess so.
That's called blasphemy, and it's using God's name as a cuss word to express disgust.
Yeah, it's like a type of swear word for me, you know?
Yeah,
not really, I don't
that's
really,
it. Yeah, it's called blasphemy, and it's very serious in God's sight. And listen to this one, Boris. Jesus said whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
With lust, anger, is that?
No, sexual desire. You want to go to bed with her.
Yeah, well, every day. I'm 17 here.
So, listen to this, 70-year-old. Hey, listen to this, Boris. Listen to this. By your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterate heart, and you have to face God on Judgment Day whether you believe in him or not. Here's a big if.
How could I have to face him if I don't believe in Judgment Day?
Here's a big if for you. If God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
I don't think that's going to happen because I don't even believe in God.
Yeah, but I said if.
Yeah.
So would you be innocent or guilty seeing you're a self-admitted liar and a thief, a blasphemer and an adulterer at heart?
Yeah, just for you, I'll say I'll be guilty, yeah.
Would you therefore,
just to make him happy.
Would you therefore go to heaven or hell?
I don't believe in heaven or hell. I wouldn't go
Doesn't
to
make
either.
Any difference.
Yeah,
if I didn't believe in the electric chair and a judge sentenced me to it, it wouldn't make any difference whether I believe in it or not.
Yeah, that's just like, how can you say heaven and hell is a made-up story for everyone just to be happy about death? You know, if everyone starts thinking about what happens when you're dead, you know, everyone's just going to freak out.
Boris?
There's no answer, no one will ever know the answer.
Boris, I want you to freak out. I want you to realize that God is just and holy and perfect, and he's seen every sin you've ever committed, and everything you do in darkness is seen by God.
God doesn't help anyone in this world.
And I don't want...
If God existed, why would he create people suffering in Africa every single day, dying? What did those people ever do in life? If God existed, why doesn't he help them?
That's a good question. Would you like to know the answer?
And when is the last time God has ever helped anyone when they need to pray? If I need help, if one of my family member is hit by a car and dying, and they're just if I pray for them, is God going to save them if I don't call the ambulance?
Boris, you know, I've got a friend who's listening to us. Todd's going to talk to you for a second.
Hey, nice to meet you, Boris.
Sure, man. Hey, what's going on?
Boris.
Yeah.
Just between you and me and tens of people who are listening, what that guy was saying, if it's true, And if you died today, and if it's all true, and you went to hell, that doesn't concern you even a little?
Not at all. Because you know why? I don't believe in heaven or hell, man.
I understand.
Why would I? Yeah, you know, if it's like what you believe, it's like what works for you is what you believe. So
no,
if I don't believe in it,
Barris, that's not true.
If I don't believe in heaven or hell, you know, it's just you can't tell me it's not true.
Hey, Barris,
no one can tell me because you don't know what you
here's why.
Believe is based on a book that was written
here's,
by people.
Here's why, Barris. It doesn't matter what I think about it. The question is it true or not? Not how it makes me feel. Is it true? And so you might not feel that hell is real, but the question is it true?
Yeah, exactly. And
all
you
right.
can't say it's true. You can't say it's not. You can't say it's true, you know? And
I can say absolutely
what I believe is true.
Yeah. Barris, all I could ask you to do today is just listen to your conscience, and you think, you try to decide for yourself if it seems true. Okay, sir?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Barris, thanks for the chat today.
Nah, no worries. Take care.
Mm-hmm. Feelings are swell, but if your feelings are wrong, you're in big trouble. I don't care if Christianity happens to work for me. That's nice if it does. But that doesn't either make it true or false. So you, dear friend who are listening, you need to decide. Is it true or is it false? Period. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for joining us today. Glad you would spend part of it listening to us here at Wretched Radio. Have you checked out the humongous, gigantic, jumbo whopper Lollapalooza of a Christmas sale going on now through the end of December? Wow, that is a mouthful. But it is true. Everything in the Wretched store is 50% off right now through the end of December when you use promo code Christmas. Everything in the store, 50% off. Visit wretched.org/sale, use the promo code Christmas, and voila, you save half off. By the way, every order over $40 or more also receives a free copy of Herman Who. Can it get much better than that? What a great time to stock up on all your favorite Wretched resources for yourself, for your family, or maybe your church. Just visit wretched.org/sale and use the promo code Christmas. You save 50% on any and every Wretched book, DVD, or MP3. And Merry Christmas. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Let's go to Eastern Europe for yet another great story coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs.
Andrea was left by her mother when she was 3 months old. The Tomorrow Club director decided to pray for this girl, and she repented. She used to be a sad-looking kid. Now, seems like that smile never comes off her face.
So many kids are abandoned by parents who need to go to other countries to make a living. They donate their organs. They leave the kids. They are lost physically and spiritually, and the Tomorrow Clubs finds them. They teach them the gospel. They help them to memorize Bible verses. They even will help them with their family lives. It's a magnificent ministry, story after story coming out of Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Tomorrow Clubs is the ministry. Would you please consider supporting a club of your own? TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
There are certain things people love getting for Christmas. You know, like new toys, new socks, the newest iPhone. There are things Wretched would love for Christmas too, gospel partners. As this year is coming to a close, would you consider becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner? You see, thanks to our gospel partners, you can find full episodes of Wretched Radio and TV at the home of all things Wretched, wretched.org, among many other resources, for free. Without our gospel partners, there simply is no Wretched. So if you enjoy watching or listening to Wretched and want to continue to do so, would you please consider becoming a Wretched gospel partner? Every dollar you give will be faithfully stewarded. In fact, right now, 83% of every dollar goes directly towards ministry work. Get the details on becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner at wretched.org/donate. Visit wretched.org/donate.
Books of the Bible. Acts is the second volume of the Gospel according to Luke. It begins with the ascension of Christ and covers the first 30 years of the early church. Acts is about the sovereignty of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the preaching of the Word as early Christians seek to spread the Gospel from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, boy. This has got disaster written all over it. All right. Normally when we go fishing, we go out into the streets and find complete strangers, and we talk to them. But normally, at least the fisherman who's out in the streets will at least talk to the person up front a little bit and then pass the phone to us. But not today. Ray Forbes is out in the street. He hasn't had a chance to actually find a complete stranger. So instead, he's just going to walk up to somebody and we're going to eavesdrop and hear how it usually goes when we're not on the air. Are you ready?
Take my phone.
Hey, Forbes.
Hey, okay, now, yep, I've got a girl right here.
Look at that.
She doesn't seem like she's wanting to talk, but she's interested. She's interested. She's looking at me really weird, like I'm some kind of alien. So,
okay,
here we go.
I'm not into prophecy, but somebody's going to get hung up on. Take it over, Ray.
Hi.
Hello, how are you doing?
Fine.
Jeez,
my name's Ray. What's your name?
Danica.
Danica?
Yeah.
That's a nice name. Danica, where are you from?
Salisbury Heights.
Okay. We're asking people questions that normally don't get asked. Like, what do you think happens when someone dies? Where do they go? Any idea?
No, not really.
Do you ever think about it?
To be honest, I don't really believe.
Yeah, but do you ever think about it?
No.
You don't think about what's going to happen to you when you die?
No.
You don't believe in heaven? Don't believe in hell?
No.
Do you believe in God?
Depends on what mood I'm in.
Well, what sort of mood are you in at the moment? Good mood or bad mood?
Good.
Okay, do you believe in God in a good mood?
Yeah.
So now, why would you believe in God? Is there any evidence that God exists?
I actually agree with that.
You think God does exist?
No, I agree. No one has evidence that he exists.
Well, I can give you evidence that God exists. Do you want to hear it?
No, that's all right.
Well, listen in, and I'll just share my thoughts, and you can just say that's stupid or that makes sense, okay?
Okay.
Okay. When you look at a painting, you know there's a painter because the painting exists. When you look at a building, you know the builder exists because the building's there. And when you look at creation, you know there's a creator because creation's there. Buildings and paintings don't happen by themselves, and creation doesn't happen by itself. So creation is absolute proof there's a creator. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so we got that far. Now, do you have a conscience?
Do I have a conscience?
Yeah, is there something in you that tells you right from wrong?
Sometimes.
Okay. What does it tell you is right and wrong? Does it tell you that lying is wrong and stealing is wrong?
Pardon?
Does your conscience tell you that it's wrong to lie and steal and to kill and commit adultery?
I don't know, sometimes.
Well, the reason I'm asking that is because that's another evidence that God exists. You know, you're different than a dog or a horse or a cow. You're created in God's image, and God's given you a conscience, and the word conscience means with knowledge. You're a moral being. You know right from wrong. And that's how you know, that's another evidence that God exists, because he's made you different than all the other creation. You're unique. And not only that, but you've got other virtues, like you can create music if you like. Did you realize that? You can appreciate a sunset. You can appreciate a beautiful flower. Cats and horses and chickens and dogs don't do that. They don't form themselves into orchestras. They don't create things. They don't appreciate a sunset or a sunrise or a flower or beauty. They haven't got the ability to laugh and enjoy a good joke. They haven't the ability to do many things that you can do because you're created in God's image. Does that make sense to you?
Sort of.
Okay, Danica, I'm going to ask you some pointed questions. Are you ready?
Okay.
If there was a heaven, do you think you're good enough to go there?
I don't know.
Well, I'm asking you, are you a good person?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes.
Now, I want you to be brave because I'm going to ask you 4 questions. Are you ready?
Okay.
Have you ever told a lie?
Yeah.
What do you call someone who tells lies?
I don't Pardon?
What do you call someone who tells lies?
What do I call someone who tells a lie?
Yeah, what do you call them?
A liar? I call myself a liar.
Have you ever stolen something?
No.
In your whole life?
In my whole life, I've never stolen anything.
Well, that's great. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Not sure.
Well, you know, you use God's name and you don't use it with reverence. Maybe use it as a cuss word or something like that. That's called blasphemy. It's very serious. Now, Jesus said if you look with lust, you commit adultery in your heart. Have you ever looked at a guy with sexual desire? You're not sure?
No.
Well,
not sure.
God says if you have, you've committed adultery in your heart. And the Bible even says if you hate someone, you commit murder in your heart. God sees your thought life, and every deed you've ever done has been seen by God. When you're disobedient to your parents, God has seen that. And the fifth commandment says, honor your father and mother. So if God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, you're going to be in big trouble, don't you think?
Yes.
See, because God's seen your thought life and everything you've done in darkness. Your whole life has been seen by God, and God is perfect and holy. And every time you sin, you store up his anger. Where do you think people go that sin against God? Do you think they go to heaven or they go to hell?
Can you repeat the question?
Where do people go if they die in their sins? Well, let me tell you where they go. I'll tell you, it's a very hard thing to say, but it's what the Bible says. It says all liars have their part in the lake of fire. If you've lied, you're in big trouble with God because God takes lying very seriously. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, the Bible says. So God doesn't want you to go to hell, Danica. Do you know what he did for us so he wouldn't have to go to hell? Any idea?
No idea.
Well, have you ever celebrated Christmas?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard the words, unto us this day a Savior is born? When we have Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And the reason Jesus came to this earth was to suffer and die on the cross for our sins. When he was on the cross, he took the punishment for all the sins that you've committed. Every sin of the world was laid upon him. In other words, you and I broke God's law, the Ten Commandments, and Jesus paid our fine. That means on the Day of Judgment, God can dismiss your case. He can let you live. He can save you from death and hell because of what Jesus did on the cross. The Bible says God showed his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loves you so much, he made a way for you to be forgiven. He made a way for you to receive the gift of everlasting life. But what you must do is realize that he suffered and died for you, rose again on the third day. What you must do is repent and trust in him. That means you turn from your sins. You don't just say, God, I'm sorry, but you stop sinning and you trust in Jesus like you trust a parachute. I got a friend here. His name's Todd.
Nice to meet you. How are you?
Good.
Is this all hitting you like a truck?
Kind of.
Yeah, we kind of put you on the spot, and we're kind of hitting you with a lot of stuff. Have you ever heard these things before?
No.
No, so this is all new for you. Does it make sense to you?
Some of it?
Yeah. What doesn't make sense? By any chance, do you have a Bible?
No, I don't.
No. Yeah, well, we'll give you some stuff. This is, how old are you? 15, is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're pretty young, but it's time to start thinking about things like this because I know death seems an awfully long ways away, but, boy, there's something inside of us that says, boy, if I died, I there's something not right here. And I think that's your conscience, and so I would encourage you to listen to it today and try to ponder what this gentleman just said to you. And we'll get you some literature, we'll get you a Bible if we can, and would encourage you to read it and think so long and hard about what's going to happen when you die, because it's so important, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. Is this kind of hitting you weird?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever had a chat like this before?
No.
No. Do your parents ever talk to you about things like this?
No.
Have you ever been to a church before?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did they ever talk to you about things like this?
No.
No, what'd they talk about?
I don't know. It was like when I was six.
Oh, so it's been a long time. Oh, please think about these things today. It's so important. Just check out in the Bible and see if what this man is saying is true, because your eternity depends on it, okay?
Okay.
Hey.
Thanks, Danica.
Thank you very much. We sure do appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay, pass the phone back to that fellow.
Adios.
All right. Thanks very much. Ray, closing thoughts.
Oh, she was a sweet young lady, and it's sometimes very, very difficult
breaks
when someone
my heart,
said,
actually.
Yeah, she said she was so quiet and shy. It's kind of difficult to come on strong with them, so all I could do was be very gentle and sweet and kind and say if she dies in a sin, she's going to hell. Hardest thing in the world to say, especially when someone's like that. So I just trust God stirs her conscience and brings her to himself and saves her before she gets into big trouble, as teenagers often do.
Yeah, that's right. Alrighty, this is Wretched Radio.
Sometimes simple is best. The Mission Ball is simply a soccer ball covered with biblical text, a thorough law and gospel presentation, and an effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim Christ. With your support, the Mission Ball can get into the hands of more lost and dying souls. Go to themissionball.org. That's themissionball.org. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. A California Superior Court judge last week dropped 6 of the state's 15 felony counts against pro-life activists David DeLeiden and Sandra Merritt. They will face trial on the 9 remaining counts. DeLeiden and Merritt are fighting felony charges for surreptitiously recording Planned Parenthood abortionists, associates, and others involved in buying and selling fetal tissue. DeLeiden called the felony counts bogus and politically motivated last week, saying he is confident the remaining charges will be dropped since the contested conversations occurred in public places. The activists said they acted within the law as citizen journalists working to expose illegal activity. Last month, a jury in a separate civil case against DeLeiden and Merritt awarded Planned Parenthood $2.2 million under federal racketeering statutes, a ruling the pro-life activists are appealing. Meanwhile, DeLeiden's Center for Medical Progress filed a defamation lawsuit last month against former Planned Parenthood executive and abortionist Savita Genda, who called video footage of herself discussing fetal tissue pricing fake. During a recent federal trial, Planned Parenthood associates acknowledged the Center for Medical Progress's video footage of company personnel represented conversations that actually took place. As long as we're in the courtroom, the Texas Commission on Judicial Conduct has publicly reprimanded a judge who declines to preside over same-sex weddings. McLennan County Justice of the Peace Diane Hensley told the Waco Tribune-Herald in June of 2017 that she would only do a wedding between a man and a woman. Hensley is a Christian and said she was entitled to a religious exemption and does refer same-sex couples to other local officiants. In Texas, justices of the peace are not required to perform weddings, which are viewed as extrajudicial acts. That distinguishes Hensley's situation from Kentucky County Clerk Kim Davis, who declined to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples back in 2015. Waco attorney Mike Dixon, representing the county, said, "My advice, when asked, was that they should either do it for everyone or not do it at all." Hensley hasn't decided yet whether or not to appeal the commission's sanction. And as long as we're in Texas, the city of Westbrook, population 203, declared itself a sanctuary for the unborn. They established an ordinance last week protecting babies from abortion. Westbrook is now the 7th city in Texas to make the declaration, part of an initiative started this year by Right to Life of East Texas. The West Texas town of Big Spring, population 27,000, is set to discuss a sanctuary city ordinance this week, and the movement for sanctuary cities for the unborn has now extended beyond Texas. Live Action News is reporting other cities, including Springdale, Arkansas, and Riverton, Utah, have joined the effort. No, the cities can't enforce those ordinances while Roe v. Wade still stands, but should the court overturn that at some point, abortionists would face heavy fines retroactive to when the ordinance passed. Like that idea. This is Wretched Radio. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the cornerstone. When laying a foundation, every stone must be aligned in reference to the cornerstone.
God is building his church as a holy temple, and as believers, we are being brought into line with the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Ray, you ready to go fishing?
Yeah, I'm very excited about today, Todd.
Okay, Trish, where are you?
I'm very excited about today, too, but not on any normal day, only because today is different and unique. I am at a funeral home. And you guys, this has been long awaited. I know it sounds crazy. I'm always in crazy places. But I have been trying to set up a segment at a funeral home for, I don't know, since I was living in California. And I got shut down every time I'd ask someone if they wanted to share their, you know, spiritual beliefs. Finally, we found one guy. And his name is Jimmy Lucas. And he's not just, you know, a normal funeral director. He's actually the owner of 11 different
funeral homes. Person's alive. All right. Good. I was a little concerned at first. And so this guy sees death every single day.
Oh, yeah.
Intimately acquainted with it. Has he shared that he has any spiritual beliefs with you?
You know, he's Lutheran. His wife is Catholic. He was married in a Catholic church. He likes to keep, you know, kind of his spiritual beliefs to himself. Unless families ask him things, then maybe he'll share. But on the norm, he says he really just tries to keep it to himself.
Except for today, when he's going to just spill everything and let us know what he thinks.
That's right. I asked him questions because I always thought it would be so intriguing to ask, you know, does the Muslim mourn differently than the Christian? Does the Christian mourn differently than the atheist? Does it? And he said yes. Christians seem to mourn a little bit differently, but for the most part, everybody, you know, mourns. Everybody loves and everybody mourns, you know, pretty much the same. They just have different traditions, he says.
That's interesting. You know, I don't know, though, that should be something that should concern us, because we grieve differently, and yet the tears basically look the same. And I don't know that a funeral director could discern that we still have hope, even though we're bawling our eyes out.
That's exactly right.
I don't think that's anything that Christians should be concerned about, because it still is sad. Jesus wept when Lazarus died because of what sin does in this world. So it's okay to weep. It's okay to cry. It doesn't mean we don't have hope. We're just sad for a season. All right, so
and
Trish.
Guess what? And he gave me a full tour, too, of the funeral home already. Really interesting. I got to see the casket area, which I've never done before. So I've got it all on videotape, so hopefully
we'll find that.
Yeah,
we'll put it out as a 30-minute special.
Yeah, that would be just cheery. And the fellow's name is?
Jimmy Lucas, and I'm walking right over to him right now.
Ray?
Okay. Jimmy, you're on the air.
Hey, guys.
Jimmy.
How are you doing?
Good. Jimmy, we're honored to have you on the program.
Honored to be here with you.
I've spoken at a lot of funerals, and I just got to say, it's so good to have an undertaker there at a time when there's bewilderment and, you know, pain and grieving. And the word undertaker really does fit you guys well.
Well, you know, it's a trust thing, and it's an honor for people to trust us to care for them at that time, because that's a hard thing for folks to go through.
So you still get called a undertaker?
No, mostly funeral director.
Why?
I guess because we direct the funeral and assist the family with the choices and kind of that walk through the grief process at the very beginning.
What about the word coffin? Is that used, or do you use another word for coffin?
Casket, coffin.
Yep, that's a nicer word. What about the word hearse?
The hearse or funeral coach.
Oh, that's much nicer. And you could call it a limo.
A limousine, absolutely.
Yeah.
The family
and what do you call the dead person?
The deceased.
That's right. There's a special language. Now, tell me, why has it all changed? Why isn't the undertaker is going to put you in a coffin and put you in a hearse and you're dead?
I think it depends on what generation you're talking to. I was speaking earlier with Ms. Ramos, and my grandmother's 86, and she still works as a funeral director with us. So her language does mirror what you were saying earlier.
Really?
And I just think it's the way you're raised and as times change.
Well, limo does sound much nicer than a hearse, and coffin doesn't sound that nice. A casket sounds better. You know what, though, Jimmy? I don't care how much they dress up death. No one in his right mind wants to try it on for size.
Exactly.
No, right? So now you've seen a lot of death. Can you tell us what you think personally happens after someone dies? Where do they go?
I guess I personally feel it depends on what their belief system is.
But what do you think?
For myself?
Yeah. Like Jimmy.
Jimmy believes that he's going to go to heaven.
Okay, so you think there's a heaven?
I do.
You've obviously got a belief in God.
I do.
Okay, now do you believe the Bible?
I do.
So when the Bible says Jesus Christ has abolished death, you believe that?
I do believe that, for those who believe in him.
For those, and what about those who don't?
The Bible speaks to that the only way to heaven is through Jesus.
Right. Yeah. So do you share your faith with people that come to the...
I do. I look at a lot of what I do is like a counselor, and so I try to start with where they want to start a conversation, and I lead them through that. And if faith comes into it or that arises, that conversation does come up.
So, Jimmy, tell me how you share your faith. Imagine I'm not a Christian, and I come, one of my families died, and I'm grieving. And I look at you and say, Jimmy, thanks for doing this. Say, where do you think my loved one's gone? They're not a Christian. Where am I going to go when I die? Because I got to tell you, Jimmy, I'm scared of dying. What would you say to me?
I usually turn that around and ask them where they think they're going. What I try to avoid is a confrontation or to try to tell them where they're going. With my belief, as I work one-on-one with families, I typically try to... I don't go that route unless they bring it up, and then it's an open conversation.
Well, let's say I bring it up. I say, okay, right. Jimmy, tell me how I can get to heaven. I don't want to end up in hell. How can I get to heaven?
I share my belief with them, and I can only share it from my viewpoint and just explain where I am with it and what I do as a Christian and my understanding of the Bible. And that sometimes can be scary because I can't pull scripture out like a minister could.
Do you use the Ten Commandments when you talk to them?
No, I don't. And that rarely comes up. Your analogy just isn't something that typically happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you ever search for it? I mean, do you look for an opening?
Probably not in the initial conference just because of the stage folks are in, but it does present itself after the service when we try to continue to build a rapport with the family, so it's not just you see us this one time and you're out of our life.
Do you have any literature you can give them that has the gospel in the literature? I mean, it seems like a wonderful opportunity when when you lose a loved one, that you do ask questions. I started asking questions when my dog got killed in front of my eyes. I remember that night as an 18-year-old just saying, why? You know, where is God in the whole thing? So it's a time of grieving, but it's a time of asking questions at the same time. And you can avoid bringing up the subject of where their loved one went. God really only knows. But it's a wonderful opportunity to do what Jesus did and open up. He was a funeral director's nightmare. Did you know that?
I'll be out of a job one day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, isn't that
that's
exciting?
That's okay. I'm learning to cook.
I mean, he wrecked the funeral of Lazarus. The money had to be refunded to the undertaker because he raised him from the dead. He touched a coffin on the way to the burial, and the deceased sat up. I mean, that really is an undertaker's nightmare, and the time is coming when all those in the grave shall hear his voice, and the undertaker will hit the unemployment line, which is an exciting day for the whole of humanity.
And me and all the doctors, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, amen. So can I encourage you to take advantage of the opportunity that you have and do what Jesus did and open up those commandments? Do you read your Bible regularly?
Well, regularly, that's
daily?
What that means. Every day, probably not every day, but regularly. Weekly, absolutely.
Yeah, well, you should read it every day, because if you read it every day, then you're feeding on God's Word, and you'll get more of a burden on your heart for those that are sitting in the shadow of death. And can I encourage you to do what Jesus did? He opened up the commandments to show what sin is. Do you realize that if you look at a woman and lust after her, you commit adultery with her in your heart? If you hate someone, the Bible says you're a murderer. If you lie or steal, you're not going to enter heaven. That's the standard of God's righteousness, and that's what brings us the knowledge of sin and shows us that we need a Savior. That makes sense?
I believe that, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what Jesus did in Mark and in Luke, and that's what Paul did in Romans 2, and even what Stephen did when he said, you who are given the law by angels, you have not kept it. So that law, that moral law, should be pressed against the conscience to show someone they've sinned against God. Todd, would you like to talk to Jimmy?
Hey, Jimmy, how do you do?
Hey, how are you, sir?
Hey, Jimmy, tell me, I'm very curious. I live in a place where there's a lot of Lutherans, so I would love to hear you tell me concisely, as if you were being confirmed again, when I die, I want to go to heaven. What must I do to be saved? Give it to me in 15 seconds.
15 seconds. My belief is that God gave his son here to die on the cross for us, forgive us of our sins, and rose again on Easter, and that's so we can live forever. For those who believe in him.
Okay, so all I have to do is believe in Jesus.
I think you need to walk the talk, try to follow his instructions. And
I need to believe in him and be good.
I believe that, yes.
Okay. Hey, Jimmy, I would like to give you some homework tonight. Are you up for that?
Give it to me.
Have you got a Bible that has a concordance in the back where you can look up one word and it tells you all the verses?
I imagine I do.
You know what I'm talking about? So you look up a word like baptism and it lists all the places where baptism is. Look up the word repent.
Okay.
It's used over 30 times in the New Testament. And a lot of times people will say, just believe, but there's a piece missing. The biblical formula, if you will, is repentance and faith, turning from sins, forsaking sins, apologizing for sins, going in the opposite direction, and putting your trust in Jesus Christ. So it's repentance and faith. Okay, don't forget that R word. So tonight, go to your concordance, look up the R word, and see all the times where it was stressed. Jesus, that was the first recorded words we have in Mark, repentance and faith. Hey, Jimmy, thank you very much.
Bless you guys. Take care.
This is Wretched Radio. What two pastors go through to bring Bibles to their parishioners in the Philippines.
Two pastors, they had to rise up 3 a.m. and walk for 2 hours. And after that, they have to ride a bangka across the river for an hour and then walk again for 3 hours just to get hold of those precious Bibles. They will return in the same way again to bring those Bibles to people whom they are ministering.
That is what they go through. What must you and I do to bring those Bibles to believers around the globe? Pick up our phones. Call Bible League International. Would you do that right now? $5 per Bible. Could you send 7 per month? Call Bible League International right now, and they will be delivered to the hands of a believer. 1-800-YES-WORD. Just giving you a chance to write that down or to call it. 1-800-YES-WORD to bring Bibles to believers through Bible League International. 1-800-YES-WORD.
Merry Christmas from your not-so-politically-correct friends here at Wretched. Did you know right now Wretched is having a Christmas sale? Well, now you do. Right now, Wretched is having a Christmas sale. That means when you visit the Wretched store, you will see that everything is 50% off when you use promo code CHRISTMAS. 50% off everything. Books, DVDs, CDs, 50% off when you use the promo code CHRISTMAS. So visit the Wretched store at wretched.org/sale. Oh, by the way, for every order of $40 or more, you'll also receive a free copy of Herman Hu. If my math is correct, that's a $24.99 value, absolutely free. So stock up on all your Christmas goodies this year and save up to 50% and get a free copy of Herman Hu. Pretty much that easy. Visit wretched.org/sale and be sure you use the promo code CHRISTMAS to get all your 50% off savings. That's wretched.org/sale.
Well, Geneva was married, but in her 20s, she had a one-year-old daughter at home that would interfere with her plans to go back to school, and so she was hoping she wasn't pregnant, but she was. I asked her how she felt about her pregnancy. She said, I don't want it, and my husband doesn't want it. She agreed to do an ultrasound, and she didn't want to take any pictures of the ultrasound, but she did look at it for a long time. And so we put it in the file, and then we started walking out of the clinic with her, and she turns to the nurse, and she says, do you have any referrals for medical providers? And he said, yeah, we've got a good doctor. You can go see him. Well, she went to him, and she chose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. Would you please consider supporting preborn.org, providing free ultrasounds, and presenting the gospel to moms and dads, $28 per ultrasound. How many could you support each month? Please support Preborn at preborn.org/wretched.
Know your church fathers. John Chrysostom was the bishop of Syria and Constantinople in the 4th century. He was an eloquent preacher and earned the moniker Chrysostom, which means golden-mouthed. He denounced abuses of authority in church and government and fought for purity of life and doctrine. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's go to the streets right now. I do believe Trish is in Texas someplace. Hello, Trish.
Yes, I left the funeral home, got in the
That's
car, went down the street, had no idea where I was going to go. And then I thought, well, there's Womack's gym. That's a great opposite of the funeral home. Everyone's trying to, you know, work out and stay in shape and stuff. So one young guy named Tommy was walking up. I said, "Hey, you." And he smiled and, "Well, come here. Would you like to be on the radio? I know it sounds crazy. We're doing a segment. Would you be willing to talk about spiritual things?" And to my surprise, he goes, "Sure," with a huge smile. And so I asked him, you know, "If you were to die, where would you go?" And he has no clue. You know, he hopes heaven and things, but he's open to talk about it. He's working out at the gym to build muscles so that he can be a better kicker. You play football? Plays football. And when he's 21, he wants to win the ultimate poker championship or something. Is that what you said? Yeah, so he's got some interesting goals.
Hey. He's building muscles so when he walks down the street, women will say to him, "Hey, you, come here." And it's working.
That's why I do it, Ray.
Yes, I don't.
Because
need to do
I
it
just,
yes.
I'm just. Hey, I didn't ask for laughter. Sorry. Is that a sound effect? All right, so let's get in it, shall we? Ray, you take over.
Tommy, you're live on the air.
All right, this is Tommy.
Hello,
Tommy. It's good to have you live on the air.
Feels good.
Thanks. Thanks for joining us. Hey, tell me what you believe happens after someone dies, will you?
I'm not sure.
You think about it?
Place. Yes, briefly. Just kind of hope I've done the right things to go to a peaceful place.
You said you think about it just a little bit, or do you think about it lots? I mean,
just a little bit.
Are you afraid? Are you afraid of dying?
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it takes a humble person to admit that, Tommy. A lot of people say, "No, I'm not scared of dying," but you know, that's because they're proud. But within every one of us is something that says, "I don't want to die," and that's called your will to live, and it's wise to listen to it, because you won't seek an answer if you say, "I'm not afraid of dying, I don't care, when you're dead, you're dead." Well, I don't believe that. Everybody wants to live. There's something in every single one of us that wants to live. Have you lost a loved one?
Yeah, I have, actually.
Did that make you think about death?
Yeah.
Okay. So do you think there's a place called heaven, like the Bible says?
I do.
And do you think the Bible's right when it says that we're sinners?
Yep.
You ever feel guilty?
All the time.
You do? What makes you feel guilty, Tommy?
Doing some things that aren't moral or going away from my moral value, I guess.
Boy, it's why would you have moral values? You're 17 years old. Why on earth, just thinking of today's generation, would you be concerned about having moral values? Have you had some sort of Christian instruction as a young kid?
No, I just like to have a honestness about me,
okay,
or to stay true to what I actually believe, or something that I don't find ethical.
Well, that's commendable. To even hear the word ethical out of the mouth of a 17-year-old is refreshing. Let's just tap into that honestness and see what it is that makes you feel guilty. Because if you can figure that out, then we can start figuring out what the cure is. What we'll do is we'll look for a few moments at the Ten Commandments. Do you remember the Ten Commandments?
Yeah, kind of.
Can you name any of them?
Freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm. That's actually, I think it's a First Amendment right you're thinking of. What about you shall not steal, and you shall not kill?
Yeah.
And you shall not commit adultery, and you shall not lie. That's the Ten Commandments.
Okay, yeah.
So I take it you're not very familiar with the Ten Commandments.
Not really. I mean, I've heard of them, yeah.
So let's go through some of the Ten Commandments and see how you're going to do on the Day of Judgment. You heard the one that says you shall not commit adultery?
Yep.
Okay, Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman or a picture of a woman and lusted after her?
Yes.
Okay, so you've committed adultery in your heart. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes.
Okay, now that's called blasphemy. It's very serious. In fact, it's so serious, the Old Testament, God gives the death sentence to anyone who uses his name in vain. It's failing to give God's name honor, but when you use his name as a cuss word, how much more dishonoring can you get? Have you ever stolen anything?
No.
Okay, have you ever lied in your life?
Yes.
Okay, so what do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
Okay, so you're a liar by nature, and you have lied. So let's go back to the theft one. Have you ever stolen anything, even if it's small, in your whole life?
No.
Okay, that's great. So listen to this, Tommy. By your own admission, you're a liar, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart. And we're not sure if you stole anything because you told us you're a liar, so we really can't trust what you say. So here's the big if. If God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
Innocent.
Why?
Because I haven't done that.
You've committed adultery in your heart by your own admission. You've blasphemed God's name by your own admission. And you've lied by your own admission. So you will be guilty. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
You'll be like the rest of us. I mean, why would you be innocent if you've admitted that you've done those things? Okay, have you ever hated someone?
Yes.
Okay, the Bible says he who hates his brother is a murderer. God's standard of righteousness, his morality is so high, he considers hatred to be murder of the heart, lust to be adultery of the heart. And every secret sin you've ever committed, you know those things you've done in darkness that you thought no one saw? God saw those. The Bible says he sees the darkness as pure light, and he'll bring into the light everything done in darkness. There's nothing hid that should not be revealed. Even every idle word, the Bible says, that you've spoken, you'll have to give an account to God on the day of judgment. So that leaves you in big trouble, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you're guilty on the day of judgment, bearing in mind the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire, no thief, no blasphemer, no murderer will inherit everlasting life, will you go to heaven or hell?
Don't know.
Well, we do know all liars are their part in the lake of fire. If you died today, you've got God's promise that you'd end up in hell forever. He would damn you because you have to be perfect to enter heaven. Does that concern you that if you died today, Tommy, you'd end up in hell forever?
Yeah, for sure.
It's got to concern you because you want to live. There's something in you that says, I don't want to die. Now, do you know what God did for humanity, for us, so that we wouldn't have to end up in hell? Have you any idea? The reason Jesus is called the Savior is because he came to save humanity from their sins. The end of your sin will be death and hell. It's like the end of crime is prison. If you keep on in crime, the judge gets you and he levels the law at you, you're going to end up in prison. Well, sin will lead you to death and damn you in hell forever. But he came to save us from our sins. And you know how he did it?
Sacrifice his son.
Yeah, God became a person, Jesus of Nazareth. God was manifest in the flesh, the Bible says. He was the invisible God revealed to humanity for the specific purpose of suffering and dying on the cross for our sins. It's like this, Jim. You go to anyone that you love?
Yeah.
Okay, a kid sister or something?
Yeah.
Imagine your sister is in big trouble with the law, and she's standing in front of a judge, and there's a $100,000 fine. And the judge says to your sister, you're guilty. Have you got any money to pay this $100,000 fine? She says, I don't have a bean, Your Honor. And he says, well, you have to pay it or you're going to prison. And suddenly you step up and says, Your Honor, I love this person and I want to pay their fine. And you get $100,000 and your good hard-earned money and you go up to the judge and you just put it in front of him. The judge looks at you, looks at your sister and says, you're out of here, your fine's been paid. He dismisses the case on the basis that you paid your sister's fine. Well, that's what God did for you. He loved you so much, he became a human being and suffered and died on a cross, taking the punishment for the crimes that you and I had committed. All the sin of the world was laid upon him, a substitutionary death. Have you heard of the Bible verse? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Because of what Jesus did on the cross and because he rose from the dead, God can now dismiss your case. He can commute your death sentence. God can let you live and save you from the damnation of hell because of what Jesus did on the cross. Now, there are two things you have to do to find peace with God, to be free from that guilt, to find everlasting life, to have your sins forgiven. Do you know what they are?
No.
Well, you got to do this. You got to repent. That's an old-fashioned word. It means to turn from your sins. Someone who says, I'm becoming a Christian, but I'm not turning from my sins, is a hypocrite. You've got to stop lying and stealing and lusting and hating people. You've got to turn from all sin. That's repentance. And the second thing you have to do is trust in Jesus. Now, have you ever jumped out of a plane in a parachute?
No.
Okay, if you ever do, don't just believe in the parachute. Make sure you put your faith in it by putting it on. There's a big difference, and you'll see the difference when you jump, okay?
Okay. A lot of people say, I believe in Jesus and die without him. No, you're not called to believe in Jesus. You've got to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to trust in him. So the two things you've got to do is repent and trust. That make sense?
Uh-huh.
And do it today, Tommy, because if you die without Christ, you're going to hell forever. So listen to your conscience. Think about the sins you've committed. Think about what God did for you. Do you have a Bible?
Yes.
Please open it. Open it, the Gospel of John, and begin to read it with a humble and prayerful heart, because there's nothing more important than your eternal salvation. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Hey, Tommy, thanks for talking to me.
No worries.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Until next time, go serve your King.